it's time for the Las Vegas Sports Line. Brought to you by CG Technology Sportsbook.
Money won is twice as sweet as money earned.
Be in the know where all the tickets stack up. Let's go behind the counter.
All right, fine. You want to make a bet?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 5. Go.
4.
No, 3. Good try, then.
With CG Technology Sportsbook's Dave Sherapin.
Man, that guy's on a losing streak. Can't stop picking the same number. I'm Dave Koch, and welcome to the Behind the Counter Thursday edition of the Las Vegas Sportsline. Marco D'Angelo from Wager Talk, whom you can follow or who you can follow on Twitter at Marco in Vegas, joins us. Dave Sherapin from CG Sportsbooks joins us as well. You can follow him on Twitter at Sportsbook Consigliere. You can follow me at Dave Koken, and you can follow Jared Justice at Jared Justice is our producer.
At Jared Justice.
Oh, okay. Well, you better spell it, because they'll spell it J-U-S-T-I-C-E, which is not it.
It's J-E-R-E-D-J-U-S-T-U-S.
There you go. Follow Jared to get all the latest goings-on here at ESPN Las Vegas and other good stuff as well. Hi, Dave. What's going on?
Hey, guys. What's happening? We got Marco in there. Marco, yes. D'Angelo, for anyone that knows Pittsburghese. What's up?
I like that accent. Nicely done.
Can you go down on the sound side? How's Yun's doing today?
So, we're just hanging out, booking some football games and, you know, looking ahead to the NFL.
So, and we'll do our NFL behind the counter today. I want to ask you, UNLV lost last night to Texas State, which, not a shocking result. They were small favorites. I hope it changes, but I'm worried that it's not going to. I've never seen less interest in UNLV basketball than I'm seeing right now, despite the fact they've got a new coach who I think is going to do a good job here. But is anybody betting these games?
No. I saw the rundown, and I had to go look to see, and it's minimal. And you're right. I mean, we got so much going on now with the local team, with the Knights, and not that they've become irrelevant, Dave, but, man, I mean, they got to get good to get back just in the discussion. They're invisible right now.
But that's the problem. And, Marco, I want you to weigh in on this as well, because we've all been out here for a long time. I think they are irrelevant now, and I hate saying that. I don't know if it's going to change, because the hockey team is very relevant. The Raiders are going to be very relevant. And let's call it straight. We're probably going to get an MLS team in here in a couple of years. They're going to be relevant. We might get an NBA team. We might even get a Major League Baseball team down the road. Once a city becomes a big pro sports town, and believe me, I know this growing up in the Boston area, the Boston's college sports teams, outside of Boston University hockey, are basically irrelevant. And that includes Boston College football. It's a pro sports town. I think Las Vegas is now becoming very much a pro sports town, and that's just not good news for UNLV.
It's not, Dave. And then the other part of it is because UNLV, and unfortunately for me, I wasn't living here during the heyday.
Right.
I was coming out a lot.
It was unbelievable, Dave.
Yeah, I can't imagine what it would have been with Gucci Rowe and everything else, and, you know, Tark, and, you know, to go to a UNLV game, I was out here times where I would try to get a ticket. It was an event.
Yes.
It was an event. And I remember the last game for Shark. I was out here on vacation during that week, and I scalped a ticket to go to that because it was such a monumental thing. UNLV was a national presence. They're not anymore, and the program, unfortunately, has declined drastically over the last several years. And, you know, whenever you're hosting the tournament at the Thomas and Mack, and you're playing a day game because, you know, you can't even get into the top tier, it's a problem. And as you said, the success that the Golden Knights had really fast-tracked their back page push for them, where they're at. And the Raiders come. And the Raiders right now this year, they're a surprise so far, ahead of schedule.
Huge next year. Huge. Las Vegas Raiders is going to be really, really big stuff. Can you imagine the numbers that will be done in terms of gambling and live betting Dave, live betting at Raiders games will be insane.
It's going to be crazy. I mean, everybody's kind of just getting a taste of it now with the Raiders, and just the action on their games is different. And they're good this season, so it's, you can even see it more. But with the game day action and going to the games and the live betting stuff, it's going to be different than anything we've seen, at least here in Vegas.
Yep. It's going to be a whole new world. All right.
The other part of it, just to jump in 1 second, sure. Dave, the Raiders being a West Coast team, most of their games are going to be those later games, and there's only going to be a couple games on at that time,
yes,
because of the late games, and the market's going to be unbelievable.
It's going to be incredible. We're going to shatter records. Something happened last night. Now, I know it was a MAC game, but it wasn't a great weekend for the books, but I think you got a good start here. Because there was a lot of money bet against Akron for obvious reasons. They've been so bad. And Akron covered a spread last night. The books did not do as well with the Buffalo game, though.
Yeah, the Buffalo game was just a runaway train. You just can't get out of the way. You get run over and move on. The Sharps were all over Akron, though.
Really?
They were all over Akron. So that game wasn't probably as big of a game, and it being a Wednesday night MAC game, it's limited as to just what it is anyway. I mean, it's football and it's on TV, but Wednesday night MACtion is nothing like even just Thursday night bad football or Saturday, interesting football.
Well, we've got Thursday good football tonight, because this is a very interesting Thursday night matchup to start the NFL week and to start our NFL Behind the Counter rundown. Dave, Indianapolis and Houston, Colts coming off a good performance last week where they fell behind early and then pretty much dusted off Jacksonville, and Houston coming off a bad game. But you know they're going to be a popular option with Deshaun Watson, and a lot of people are going to look at this and say, well, I got to bet the Texans off a bad game. I would assume this is going to be a pretty good volume matchup.
Actually, so far, I think the T.Y. Hilton question mark may have held some people back there, and whether he's going to play or not is a game-time decision. I don't know. It's two kind of nondescript teams public-wise, so I haven't seen as much volume on the game. But in general, they're betting it like the Texans are going to bounce back. You know, tickets are like 2-1 so far on the Texans. The line has bounced, from 3.5 to 4, back to 3.5. The total is a huge steam move here with us. I mean, we're at 47, which is the highest in the market, and they keep betting the game over like it's going to be a shootout, which if you've watched these two teams play, I don't really think that's going to be the case.
Dave, moving to Sunday, we've got the Miami Dolphins at the Cleveland Browns. The Browns got a big win last week, unfortunately, against our Steelers, but I actually was on Cleveland for that game. Rare occasion to go against the Steelers. But how's the action coming in? And when you guys put this number up, what kind of factor did you put in there for Myles Garrett with the suspension?
That whole thing was pretty much dismissed as far as the number, because it's the Dolphins. So, if it was a different opponent, maybe it would have factored a little bit more, but the number obviously just had to be double digits, and we put up 10.5. This is the lowest volume game of the week so far.
Wow.
We put up 10.5. We have taken like no bets. There's hardly any tickets on it, and I figured we would have minimal discussion on this one.
Broncos just missed a big upset last week as they had a big lead at Minnesota. Vikings eventually ran them down and beat them. Did not cover the spread, though, in that matchup. The Buffalo Bills didn't have much trouble last week as they ran over the Miami Dolphins. Buffalo's the favorite in this game. What's happening behind the counter?
Somebody named Allen is going to win this game. I know that.
Yes.
That's one thing for sure we got.
Good prediction.
Open this thing 6 was the look-ahead line. And the Broncos playing the way they did, I think that brought that down to 5. We took a limit play at 5. We got to 4, which we're at now. And it's one of those weird games right now where there's more tickets on the Bills, but there's more money on the Broncos because of that limit play. So this one's going to bounce back and forth, I think. I wouldn't be surprised to see it kind of creep back up, but 4 is probably the right number.
Before I go to the next one, Dave, you're Allen, somebody's going to win it. That we don't care. I want to know which Allen's going to cover. All right. Pittsburgh's at Cincinnati. Dave, you and me, we are Pittsburgh Steelers fans, so we know this is the worst situation for Mike Tomlin since he's been a head coach at the Steelers. His teams play to the level of the competition, and you can't get any lower than a winless team. Is this a trap game for the Steelers? And they're in that Cleveland sandwich because they play Cleveland once again next week.
Yeah, it's a tough spot here for the Steelers, I think. I mean, we put up 7.5 as the look-ahead line, and they grabbed it right away. And I was with you on Thursday. I just knew the Steelers were not going to win that game on Thursday night. Can't explain what happened at the end, but the way they're betting this, it feels like that the public's kind of on that narrative. They understand that, you know, Tomlin's teams have played to their level of competition. And I mean, I gave Tomlin credit on another show that I did. This has been his best coaching job in years.
I agree
with what he's done. You know, injuries to all the stars, the circus that was Antonio Brown, and probably all the things that he covered up. His team's, you know, in a position to actually make the playoffs with all of that happening. The defense is playing at a level that they haven't played at in years. Hard to take the Bengals. I mean, they covered last week in Oakland. I can see a case for both sides here, but they're betting the Bengals right now.
By the way, Antonio Brown has countersued his accuser. Unfortunately, Nevada Gaming Control rules, we cannot post any lines on who will come out on top in that battle. Too bad. That would get some pretty good action. It would.
I don't even know what to make the line.
No, neither do I, but you could put up and pick him, and you'd get... You know, the Brown fans would bet on him, and the Brown ones that don't like it would bet against him. That would be it. I think that actually could be a situation where the book could sit back and collect on either side.
Right. Maybe.
Well, anyway, the Bears, well, both these teams. I mean, the Giants suck, okay? They're terrible. And Daniel Jones, I think, is a very good prospect, but is he a rookie. And Trubisky and the Bears have turned into a laughing stock. They really have. I mean, it's just, this has been such an epic, awful coaching job by Nagy or Nagy, whatever you prefer. And the Trubisky thing goes on and on. We don't know if he's playing or not. Now, the interesting thing is, if it's almost any starting quarterback in the league, then you've got an issue here in terms of putting up a number, because there's a big adjustment if he can't go and it has to be Chase Daniel. But I don't know that you even make an adjustment here. So did you just, okay, here's the number. Go ahead, fire away, guys. Good luck.
It's so funny. You summed it up with the at the beginning of this. Mm-hmm. We put up 6.5 for the look-ahead line, which we do on Fridays. So, you know, if you have our app, you can play the games the following week before the games are played this week. So if you have a feeling that, you know, a team's going to make a play or do something, you can get a better number. Well, they bet this thing. They laid 6.5 with a look-ahead line, and then the Bears played Sunday night, and it went back to 6.
Yeah.
So I can't make a case for either side here. I mean, it's actually being bet evenly as far as money, but there is just zero interest because there's so many question marks in this game.
Dave, an interesting game for me. Obviously, we talk about the popularity of the Raiders with them coming to Vegas. We've got them as a road favorite. You got a West Coast team on the East Coast laying points. I know the Jets are not a great team, but I never thought I would be seeing the Raiders as a road favorite.
Yeah. It's a decent road favorite.
Is you getting action, Sharps? You know,
this has been. Well, we opened at 3, and we've gotten a lot of great two-way action. And but the parlays, the Raiders tickets are 4-1 on the Raiders as far as parlays. So it's actually, they're the most selected side of all the games and all the teams. But right before, literally just seconds ago, we took a limit play on the Jets from a very sharp player. So if you see the market, we're at 2.5. You'll see pretty much 3 even. So I think the thinking is right where you're at on this game. I think the Sharps are going to be on the Jets, and everyone else will be on the Raiders.
Yeah, I think this is going to be one of those games. The next game, I don't think it'll be a pros versus Joes, But the public's going to be on the Saints. I don't know if you're going to get sharp action on the Panthers or not. Let's find out. Carolina at New Orleans. And Kyle Allen was bad again last week, and he's now thrown a whole bunch of interceptions over the last 4 weeks because kind of looks like he's been figured out. And the Saints didn't take him long to get back on track off the bad game against Atlanta. So the public's got to be on the Saints, right?
Surprisingly, they're not touching this game.
Wow.
I think the number has them scared away. I mean, the other Allen that plays quarterback in the NFL is playing in this one, and nobody's really wanting that side either. I mean, we had a look-ahead line of 7 on this that nobody touched, and then Carolina lost. The thing opened up 9.5. We've sat there all week, and they're not even touching the Saints on the parlays. So this is the second lowest volume game of the week behind that Dolphins-Browns matchup. Again, maybe too many points to lay, but, man, it's hard to take points right now with Kyle Allen and the Panthers.
I'll bet you this next game that we're going to talk about, Marco, I bet you there's a shaded side here because they might be 3-7, but they're a different team now than when they were 1-7, and the bettors noticed this.
Yeah, but which Jameis Winston's going to show up? Well, that's the question.
Yeah.
And we got Tampa Bay at Atlanta. Atlanta, all of a sudden, as Dave said, they put 2 good wins together. The only thing I'm going to say, and it was the same thing with the last game, the Saints and the Falcons play on Thursday, Thanksgiving, next week. So that's
a monster game. And that's such a big factor here. Is that keeping bettors off Atlanta in this game, or do they not care?
They don't care. They know which Jameis is showing up. The one that turns the ball over, fumbles it, and throws picks. That's pretty much standard. The sharp guys have been back in the Buccaneers for weeks, and it just hasn't worked out.
I know. I was there a couple of times.
Yeah.
So the tickets are running here crazy. 10-1 on Atlanta.
Wow.
But it's not a lot of money. It's all little stuff. This look-ahead line was 2.5. And then the Falcons, took care of the Panthers. The Bucs did what they do. It opened 4, 4.5, and no one's touched it since. So I'm with you guys, though. I think that all the parlays, things like that, they're going to all end up on the Falcons.
Yeah, and I'll end up passing it because I don't want to play against them. But, Marco, you just mentioned that it's a huge factor in handicapping this game is the potential look ahead with the rematch against the Saints on the holiday.
Absolutely.
That line is actually the Saints right now are 5.5-point favorites. We have that up. We have all the Thanksgiving Day games up available for wagering. Saints are 5.5. The total's 49.5.
Which means if you have your mobile app, you've got an account with CG, and you've got your mobile app rolling, you can bet that right now. And that number might not be around next week at this time.
For sure. If this goes the way those games are looking, I don't know how much it's going to move right away, but I would be surprised to see. If Atlanta looks really good again, that line is going to come down with them at home Thursday night.
The next one, we've got Detroit at Washington. Pick your poison here. This, which one do you want to take here? Are you getting
Lions,
any action?
The Lions are still playing hard, though. They really are. I know Driscoll's not Stafford.
He moved the ball last week.
And that was... I thought that was a somewhat misleading score against Dallas. I thought it was a good game.
I got nothing here. I'm looking Lions, Redskins. I tried to write notes. I said we took one play at Detroit -3. Surprise, surprise. We have less than 10 tickets total on the Redskins. I mean, I can't figure out. I thought last week they were live to beat the Jets, so, they fooled me. I laid one and thought I was, getting a good number. I could have, taken 30 and I wouldn't have covered. So I can't make a case either side this one. This one, I'm surprised we got this many bets on it. But, we'll need the Redskins again. Surprise, surprise.
Who will you need in the Jacksonville, Tennessee game?
Jacksonville, Tennessee, we took a really sharp play on Tennessee -3. We didn't get off the 3. We're a heavy 3 right now, 3 lay 20. This is one of those teams. I don't know if it's just the AFC South guys in general. It's the nondescript, identifying public team in the whole division. They all kind of look and feel the same. it's just a low-volume game again. Yeah. That was really the only play we took on this one.
The next game, Dave, we've got Dallas playing the New England Patriots.
This won't be low volume.
Also known as 401K, because all you do is just keep adding to the profits if you're betting New England. Where's the money coming in on this one? You got America's team versus the money machine.
Before I get to this game, they just handed me a note that seats for the Lions-Redskins game are selling for $6.
$6. Yeah.
They're selling the seats for. No one even wants to put a $5 parlay on the game, but you can go sit there for six.
$6 for an NFL game.
Yep. That's less than the beer that you're going to spend
probably.
For.
It costs you $30 to park, but six for the ticket.
That's amazing.
Cowboys Patriots. I have here. We finally have found a number and an opponent to draw two-way action in a Patriots game.
Yeah.
It took 12 weeks, but we finally got there. This is the number 6.5. It's been sitting 6.5, and I can't believe it. We're talking on Thursday, and we're almost dead even to the game with money, dead even to the game with tickets. So the Cowboys public backing is there. The Patriots just automatically cashing every week is there. And for once, the Patriots' decision won't be one of those, you know, where you got to take some Tums before the game starts to watch it.
So we take these games in rotation order, so even though this is now the flexed into Sunday night game, we'll cover it here. And this should be another great betting game, especially now that it's been flexed to Sunday night, and that's the Packers and 49ers.
Yeah, the flex thing really worked out here. This is another game that's going to end up just perfect-wise betting. It feels like the number, again, is 3. We're going to bounce the money on 3. We're at 315 now. We were 3 flat before. Packers tickets are actually outnumbering the Niner tickets here, but we've got more money on San Francisco. Nothing major, no limit plays yet, but the way these games break down, this is going to turn into a gigantic betting game. I don't know which side. Most likely we're going to need the Packers, but I don't know which side we're going to need.
It's one of those, in Nevada in particular, it's two different markets, because I think here in Southern Nevada, you'll probably get a lot of Packers action. Whereas in Northern Nevada, they might even have the game higher in Northern Nevada by a half point, because when the 49ers are playing well, they get huge action up in the Reno, Tahoe area.
Mm.
To me, I think this is going to be a Joes versus Pros when it comes to game time. I think the public, you get anytime they can get Aaron Rodgers plus points, they're going to love that, and especially on a TV game. And then the 49ers have not looked good. You know, you only remember what you just saw, and they saw them 3 games primetime. They saw the Thursday night game and then Sunday.
Yeah, but they had easy cover last week.
Yeah. Actually losing the game with 35 seconds left and end up covering the game.
Unreal.
Yeah, amazing. Looking at the next one, Seattle at Philadelphia.
Another big betting game.
This is going to be – I think the public's going to come in on Seattle after Philadelphia laid the egg last week. Everybody loves Russell Wilson, and how can you not? Is that what you're seeing at the windows? Is this going to be another sharps versus squares here?
This is the pros versus Joes game so far. The look-ahead line, we had the Eagles minus 2.5 in anticipation of them maybe winning the game, but definitely playing better than they did against New England. And it got grabbed immediately. Sharp play came at plus 2. We're down to plus 1. I wouldn't be surprised to see the game flip by kick on Sunday. It's been a deluge of Seattle money. We're talking like almost 5-1 on the parlay count. The straight bets are on Seattle. That sharp play came in at plus 2. It's going to be just like last week where all the tickets are on the side against the Eagles in the book, one of the bigger decisions, although it's a 10 o'clock game, so now it won't be as big, but we're going to need the Eagles significantly Sunday.
And on Monday, I think you'll end up needing a side in this game, and it won't be the home team, or it will be the home team. The Ravens right now Boy, I mean, they're playing some ball. Lamar Jackson is the front runner for the MVP. At this point, they're a bet-with team. The Rams, unlike some other LA teams, are not well-liked here. They're just not that, they're just not that popular in this town. And they're not playing well. So I've got to think you're going to need the Rams on Monday night.
Dave, sometimes when we do these segments, I'm thinking you either have a screen
no.
where you can see our wrists,
no,
or you're really dialed in.
Listen,
but I mean, that's exactly the case.
I've been long before I started picking games and trying to win. I was on the receiving end. I know which way the number's going to move. You know, I'm pretty good at. If I could just get my results off where the market's going to play, I'd never lose. But unfortunately, it's not that easy. But this is an easy game as far as where the action's going to be. The public is in love with Lamar Jackson right now, and who can blame them?
Yeah, they already are. I mean, it's already starting to pile up, and usually the Monday night game doesn't have, like, this much action, volume, tickets. But how could you not be, you know, playing the Ravens? I mean, they yep. just continually. Last week, surprisingly, we needed the Ravens, which was a refreshing result and kind of breathe okay, you know, come Sunday. Because it hasn't happened. We need against them every week. I mean, these teams that, you know, are 8-2, usually you need against them every week. So we're definitely, the books is going to have a monster decision come Monday night. If the parlays and everything result and roll into Monday, it's going to be huge, just like Kansas City and the Chargers was last Monday.
I would agree with that. Let's check a couple of other things quickly. We do have a college game tonight. And this line's been bouncing around all week, indicating there is some money being bet, despite the fact it's two low-level ACC teams. NC State visiting Georgia Tech. Just the fact the number's bouncing around means it's getting bet.
No question. Sharps took NC State at pick and then laid the second number at 1.5. We're at 2.5. And another staple of this college football season, we are going to need Georgia Tech to just score. I mean, 2-8, just score. Give us a shot in the game. For a Thursday night game, actually right now, the decision is actually bigger on this game than it is on the NFL game, believe it or not.
I can believe it. I think NC State is going to be the more popular betting side here because they still have something to play for. But there's so many freshmen on the field for both teams right now, and I decided to stay out of it. And we'll mention the Golden Knights. They are at home tonight against the rival San Jose Sharks. I know a lot of times visiting teams, especially at CG locations around town, visiting teams have a lot of their supporters come to town and back them, so your action is somewhat balanced. I got a feeling that's not the case tonight. The San Jose people they're not making this trip, and I think it's going to be a ton of Sharks money tonight. Golden Knights money tonight. Is that correct?
Already is, Dave.
Yep.
It's, you know, no fear laying them 185. We got minus a goal and a half plus 35. Another popular choice. You know, the Knights have looked okay the last couple games.
Yep.
Played well. Look like they're skating again, scoring goals. So no sign of any Sharks money as of right now. And don't anticipate it by puck drop at 7.
By the way, did you guys see that save? I mean, everybody's talking about it who follows hockey. That save by Marc-Andre Fleury the other night in the Toronto game. It's one of the most amazing saves I've ever seen, and everybody's just buzzing about it.
I can tell you this, as a hockey player, whoever shot that puck went back to the bench, and they buried him.
Sick.
They buried his teammates because he had the entire net, and he shot it at the only place that Fleury could dive and make that save. It was an amazing save, but he's supposed to score there 10 times out of 10.
Yeah. I mean... I can't even knock the Toronto guy, though. I mean, he did shoot it. There's no way he's supposed to be able to get back there with his glove in midair and make that save. It was impossible.
He looked like a center fielder in baseball diving for a ball. It was
incredible.
But
the thing is, he's diving for the ball after he was going in the other direction because he'd come out to cut down the angle on the original shooter. It was we are so lucky to be watching this guy. He's going to be a Hall of Fame goalie. He's one of the best there's ever been. And getting him out here for 3 years now and hopefully the rest of his career, it's a real treat if you're a hockey fan.
Absolutely.
especially for us guys that are from Pittsburgh and got to see the beginning of that career. Yep. And to see, and honestly, Dave, I mean, I saw him in his prime. He's playing as good as as he's ever played, which is amazing for, you know, him at his age and, you know, the flexibility that this guy has.
How do you do that?
He's playing better now than he was for the back stretch of his Penguins career.
Yeah.
He may be playing the best equal to the best he's ever played in his career. We just got to make sure that he doesn't have to play, you know, more than like 60, 65 games.
That's the problem.
Keep him ready for the playoff run.
That is the problem. They have not won a game when he's not been in goal. And that's why if you're betting Golden Knights, even if you have to sacrifice a few cents in value, to me, you got to wait around and get the goalie confirmations before you bet him because, I mean, if you've got Subban in net, you're basically giving up an extra goal. And Dave, you can't do that in hockey.
Dave, when you guys are down to the final minute of a Knights game and it's a one-goal game, what's the scene in the control room for you guys when you're
with the empty net?
With the empty net, because it's, I mean, you're just waiting for it to happen, and you guys get all those bets with the puck line.
Some nights it's bigger than others. You know, when it's a standalone game, you know, when it's one of the last games of the night, it can really swing the decision. So, you know, for the hockey guys like me, you know, we got another guy, Tom, he really enjoys watching the hockey games. It's a fun watch, but it's definitely different, you know, when you're just waiting and you know, and you're like, you need the icing call or you need the goalie just to cover the puck. And you just like, please just end. But it's always fun.
And you know what? The difference between now and 4 years ago before the Golden Knights arrived, because there wasn't a single game in the NHL from the beginning of the season until the last game of the Cup playoffs that any bookmaker really cared about in Las Vegas. Boy, has that changed now. And even on other games, I mean, the volume is, it's going up considerably, hasn't it, Dave?
The hockey action is great. The schedule right now has been very odd. Like today, there's 13 games. Tomorrow, there's two. So today, you know, you'll have a lot of action and it'll be a lot of interest. Tomorrow, they'll get lost. They won't even get bet, no matter who's playing. You know, you could bring back the Wayne Gretzky-led Edmonton Oilers or something, and they're not watching it. So, but no, in general, the hockey action's been awesome. And, you know, the totals are really played more now than I can remember any time, like, in the last decade with hockey and the way it's going. It just seems like there's more scoring. So you see a lot more plays on totals in hockey that you just don't remember seeing any time in the past.
And I'll just mention this, and I think it does matter. I really think it matters. Not that the NBA volume is going to disappear. And the NBA is still going to be strong. But there's a lot of people like me who really detest this load management garbage in the NBA. Whereas in the NHL, unless you're injured, not hurt, but injured, you're playing. Best players play every game in the NHL. And I think from a fan standpoint, I think it's gaining popularity for the NHL and it's going to hurt popularity in the NBA. I could be dead wrong on that, but I think it does matter.
It matters even in it more so in the wagering. Like, you can't even trust the lines until you know the lineups. It's become a game of who's going to rest more than are they just going to cover the number? Or is, you know, are they going to rest so we'll play the game under? It's a game of load management instead of, you know, playing the games. And it's taking away, you're 100% right. You can see it. You know, it's the Laker games, it's the Clipper games, and it's everyone else, at least out here right now. That's it.
Yep. Dave, great stuff as always. Always appreciate it. These segments are so much fun. We will do it again tomorrow in college football. Marco, are you in tomorrow as well?
I'm in tomorrow, yes.
Beautiful. Well, we'll follow the same format on Friday. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
Dave Sharapan. Follow him on Twitter at Sportsbook Consigliere. That's a slight abbreviation there. SPORTSBKCONSIG, I believe it is. And he's a great follow on Twitter. Dave's doing a lot of media stuff now and, of course, getting the CG brand out there. It's really good stuff. Marco and myself will come back. We will look at an angle of the day provided by the ultimate source for angles, Ralph Michaels, and we'll get into some of tonight's action as well.
The Las Vegas Sports Line.
Hello, friends. This is Thomas Johnson from Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab. Need a great idea for lunch or dinner? Your best bet is Joe's, one of the most popular dining destinations on the Strip. Joe's provides the ideal setting for private parties with accommodations for up to 150 guests. Stop by to see us at the Forum Shops at Caesars and ask for Thomas Johnson, your maitre d'.
I love Joe's. I really do. I mean, it's been a true love affair between that restaurant and me since they moved to this location, so they put a location in Las Vegas. It's just great. I have my favorite items there. Your wife, Marco, your wife likes one of their more unusual items that you wouldn't expect to find at Joe's Seafood Prime Steaks and Snow Crab. You know the name of the restaurant.
Yeah.
It's fried chicken.
Yeah. It's amazing, Dave.
It's good.
It is probably the best fried chicken in the city, and you wouldn't expect it there. And she gets it every time, and the pies.
Yeah. It's a great experience. It really is. If you've never been, this is the perfect. Or if you know someone, if you've never been, go. If you've been, you already know about it. So here's the thing. Because now we're moving into that season where you want to come up with a Christmas present that somebody's really going to enjoy. Get him a gift card from Joe's. It's a great suggestion for a Christmas present. 702-792-9222. Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab. What did I say? Snow crab before? Well, they have that too.
Yeah.
But the stone crab, when it's in season, is good stuff. Okay, let's find out what Ralph Michaels provided us with today.
Yep, Ralph's got us a college football angle. Doesn't apply to tonight's college game, but it does apply to a couple this weekend. And we all know that teams need 6 wins, Dave, to be bowl eligible.
So Minimum of six.
When they're sitting on 5, everybody goes, oh, well, they have to win. And you would think that would translate to wins, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
Teams with November home dogs that have exactly 5 wins, needing one more win, are only 29-57 against the spread. That's 33.7% against the spread. That's not good, Dave. And that's something that's one of those, like, you know, we talk about urban myths, you know, in sports betting that you would naturally think just the opposite. You know, this team's motivated.
But you know why it makes sense is because you've got this motivational factor, supposedly.
Yeah.
But you're still only talking about a 500 team. They're not that good to begin with.
Yeah.
So, you know,
You know why you're in a must-win situation?
Yeah,
because you must not have been that good all season long.
Let's talk about a few of tonight's games. I'll look at the Sharks-Golden Knights game. And as Dave Sharpen just informed us, it's pretty high. It's in the $1.80 range, about a plus 135 on the puck line. I think this is a minus one play. If Fleury's in goal, you got to get the confirmation, because if it's Subban in goal, well, that would change things quite a bit.
Dramatically.
So, yeah, I assume it'll be Fleury, but you always want to wait to find out so there's no late surprises. I think this is a minus one spot. The Golden Knights are off 2 good wins. They always get up for the Sharks. The Sharks are the prime rival. They don't like each other. I mean, the Golden Knights were even fired up for exhibition. They were. I'm not making this up. They were up for the exhibition game.
They got in fights in the exhibition game.
They don't like this team. And I think Vegas comes through with another strong performance tonight. So this will be a game where I will, with Fleury and net, I will split half unit money line. And then to reduce the liability and also to go for a little gamble that they can win by more than one, I'll play half unit on the puck line as well on the Golden Knights.
Yeah, Dave, I can't disagree with you there. I also look a little bit at the over here. San Jose has been playing better. They're playing their best ball of the year right now. They've won 6 of their last 7 games. But more importantly, they're scoring right now. They have scored 4 or more in 5 of their last 7 games. So this is a spot. We're looking at that 6.5. And, yes, Fleury's been incredible. But, Dave, the one thing that worries me, and we talked about it with Dave Sharapan, they got to get him some breaks. We talked about load management.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
And this is one where
goalies do need load management.
They do. And he has been in there way too much this year for where we're at. And I think there's only a couple teams in the league right now where one goalie has had all of their wins, and Fleury's one of them. I think there's 3 or 4 teams like that.
Calgary might be one. I think Toronto might be one. There's not many.
Yeah.
But look, there's no other way to say it. You got to call it straight. The team doesn't play as confidently when Subban's in goal.
Right. And for the San Jose side, as far as the over-under goes, you're going to have Aaron Dell in net instead of just...
He hasn't played a game since November 2nd.
Right. So you got the rustiness factor there. I think it's a combination there. Maybe I'm going to the game tonight, so
yeah.
I might have a little hometown parlay there. Go Knights in the over.
Lots of college basketball tonight as well, plus college football, an NFL game, NBA.
I got two NBA.
Good. Let's talk about them. We've got TV games tonight, the NBA.
We do, and we've got Milwaukee and Portland. Portland, Carmelo Anthony.
How old is he?
Just a little bit less than you, Dave.
Well, it feels like it. I mean, really.
I know. And, you know, how much of a factor is he going to be? But his role's different.
Oh,
but
I see.
You look at this team, I'm going with...
He's what? 35?
Okay. I would have lost that one. I would have thought he was older.
I would have, I would have gone with the over as well. I would have lost that.
You could have won. You could have won money, Jared. Come on, man.
I thought he was probably 37 or 38. I didn't know that. Okay.
But I'm looking at this one, and you've got Portland. This is a team, Dave. I'm going to tell the listeners to write this down later in about a few weeks. I think Portland's going to be a very good value. Right now, they are playing a horrendous schedule. When they complete this six-game road trip, tonight they're playing their third game in four nights.
Right.
It's the fourth game of the six-game road trip. But when this road trip's over, they are going to have played in their last 17 games, 13 road games out of the last 17. And they're not playing well. So the market keeps pumping the line on them. Well, eventually, Carmelo's going to figure out his role with this team. They're going to get some of the injured players back, but yet the market's not going to adjust because they're going to look at that bad record. I think you're going to have some value down the road. But for tonight, what I'm looking at in this game is I'm looking at the under in this game. Milwaukee played last night, and they played a game where the combined score was 262. Everybody's going to rush to the window to look to the over in tonight's game.
And the Blazers, I don't follow the NBA closely, but I followed it enough to know that the Blazers are getting criticized for poor defensive play.
They are. The problem with the Blazers right now is where do they get their offense from?
Because Lillard is
out.
Ding. Yeah.
So with Milwaukee coming off that game last night, I think they went at half speed knowing that they had to play back-to-back nights. And we know you spend more energy playing defense than you do playing offense. So I think you're going to see them tighten it up tonight. I'm going to take the under in this game. And I also did a team total in this one. I took Portland under 108 because I do think Milwaukee is going to shut them down.
Do you correlate that as a parlay, or do you play it individually?
I play them individually.
See, I think that's
on that
smart.
One. Yeah, because if I'm totally wrong on my handicap, I'm going to lose both. And then with a team like Milwaukee, they could just put up big numbers and get the over on their own, but I could still cash the under with the team total on Portland.
It's the difference between, to me, betting smart and betting greedy.
Oh, absolutely.
And to me, bet smart wins every time.
Absolutely. And betting with your head and not your heart, okay? As I just got done saying, I'm doing a hometown parlay tonight with the Vegas Golden Knights. Dave, you've never been to a game with my wife. I cannot bet against the Golden Knights with her. She is an unbelievable fan. And, you know, and if I want to celebrate after the game, I got to be rooting for the Golden Knights.
I think that's great.
Yeah. She has no interest in sports until the Knights.
A lot of people in town.
Yeah.
With daughters, guys I know with daughters. You know, the daughters, they didn't care.
Scott goes with his daughter all the time.
Just totally into it.
Yeah. Love it. The second game on the card tonight, Dave, this will be the complete opposite. No under in this one. You've got New Orleans at Phoenix. In this one, you've got two bad defensive teams. You've got New Orleans that's at the bottom of the barrel. They're 23rd in the league. They're allowing 48% shooting from the floor. On the flip side, as bad as these two teams are, they are two of the best at three-point shooting offensively. Both teams are in the top 10 hitting threes. New Orleans is number two. They hit 15 threes a game, and Phoenix is number seven at 13. So you got poor defense, good three-point shooting. This is the first game of a road trip for New Orleans. I love this game over the total, and they put up a high number. They're trying to discourage you from taking the over. It is 233.5 on this total. I took the over in this one, and a little stat on New Orleans. When they play Pacific Division opponents the last three seasons, the over is 29-15. So we're going to go ahead and take this one over the total tonight, the Pelicans and the Suns.
Wager Talk marquee matchup is next.
For more angles and information, follow Ralph Michaels at CalSportsLV on Twitter.
What's hot today? It's time for the Wager Talk marquee matchup of the night with Marco D'Angelo. WagerTalk.com. Start winning now.
And a couple of great specials at Wager Talk right now. Our friend Tony Finn, he's always been really good in the NFL. But this year, Tony is insanely good in the NFL. He's hitting 71%, and that's not playing one game a week. He's betting like four or five games a week. 71% this deep into the season. So there's a special for Tony that's at Wager Talk right now. And I don't know the codes offhand. So what you do is just email customer service, and they'll tell you what the code is. It might be Tony279 or something like that, but I'm not sure. But anyway, you get a big discount on the rest of his NFL season. And I'm fortunate enough to be running good again this year in college football, about 64 for the season, I believe. So they have a special up there for me, and I also don't know the code for that. So just email customer service there or call them, and they can tell you what the code is, and you save money on the college football. Marco, you've had a nice run going, and hopefully it will continue for you as well.
Let's keep the football going. One run that I didn't have involves a team tonight. Full disclosure, Dave, I was one of those, you know, so-called sharps that was on the Houston Texans last week, and boy, I didn't have to sweat the game.
No, it was an easy loss.
Yeah, it was, and that was the game with the insane penalty that wasn't called and reviewed, and three different people look at it and still couldn't see it.
Welcome to the world of NFL officiating.
Yeah, Stevie Wonder texted in and said he saw the interference.
I believe it, too.
You know, this is one of those ones where I'm going to back Houston a second week here. Polar opposite results. I talk about it all the time, Dave. Don't overreact to one game. You know, in clearly you had Indianapolis Colts with a 33-13 victory, and you had Houston getting drilled 41-7. Who's going to want to take Houston tonight? Well, I'm going to do it. I look at Jacksonville. Last week, they went into Indianapolis. Nick Foles come in there. There was a lot of money that came in on Jacksonville last week, people riding Nick Foles. But he was rusty last week. But even a rusty Nick Foles connected on 33 of 47 passes against this Indianapolis defense.
The defense played a bad game.
Yeah.
The Jaguars defense did them in last week.
I think Indianapolis this week against a embarrassed and angry Houston team. And, Dave, this is one of those Thursday night games. We always talk about it. Road team has a disadvantage, but not so much when it's a division game because you face that team twice every season. But Houston, these two teams are tied for first place.
Oh,
this
a big
is a
game.
Monumental game, one of the better games that we're going to have had on Thursday night football.
I'm surprised that Dave Sharpen said it wasn't really turning into a big volume game. I sometimes you can't read the market, but I still think there'll be plenty of money that
there's
shows
gonna,
up.
There'll
before
be money
the game
show
starts.
Before game, yeah, because it's it's a Thursday night standalone game, and the college game is not really an exciting game tonight at all.
I mean, locally, I think a lot of locals will be watching the Golden Knights, but the football game will still do a lot of business.
Yeah, so I'm going to take Houston. I'm going to lay the points with them. Coaching matchup, I think the edge does go to Indianapolis
I
there.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I'm not a big Bill O'Brien fan, but other than that, I think you're going to see a good game this week out of Lamar Jackson. Let's go ahead and take Houston.
And a reminder that also at WagerTalk.com, you can plug in and watch WagerTalk TV. Yeah. There's so many videos up. There's a video that's done that covers every single game on the college board. There's another one that covers every single game on the NFL board. Your enormously popular show with VR and Kelly. I mean, you guys are getting huge views.
It's been incredible with the bet on it. We do a college version and an NFL version. And, Dave, we started a new show this week, too. It's an NBA show, daily NBA show. It was on there this morning with Joe Ranieri and Hakeem Prophet, one of our guys, and then rotating guests every day. So it's another good show, much like what you did with baseball all season long.
There you go. Good stuff. Lions Physical Therapy, play of the day.
It's the LPT Play of the Day. Tonight's best bet from Lions Physical Therapy, your five-star rated specialists.
I think we've got this one in common tonight. So, it's the local game, so let's talk about it and go with it. And that's the San Jose Sharks playing at T-Mobile against the Vegas Golden Knights. I'll go with my play here, which is I'm going to make two plays, a half unit on each. Golden Knights money line, which is about minus 180. Golden Knights puck line, which is about plus 130. Playing them both reduces your liability on the money line if things don't work out. And if they can win by more than one, you get a real nice little score for yourself. So Golden Knights minus one is Lions Physical Therapy Play of the Day. Marco and myself will be back at it tomorrow. That is Marco D'Angelo from Wager Talk. Dave Sharpin from CG Sportsbooks will be with us as well. For Jared Justice, I'm Dave Koch and Cofield & Company next here on The Sports Leader. Have a great night.